God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
God of the universe created the world. He didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. He spoke. He said, let there be light. Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. You know, I grew up in talk radio, listening to the greats and getting to fill in for the most successful and most listened to talk show host in history, Rush Limbaugh, God rest him. And I could rip into this case. I could rip into what's been done to Donald Trump. I could, for instance, state the fact that since the federal government wouldn't even take this on, Alvin Bragg waved a magic corrupt wand and took a federal case, magically turned it into local, took a maybe misdemeanor, multiplied it into many misdemeanors, and then magically made it into a felony. The same exact Alvin Bragg, who magically turned felonies into misdemeanors so he could keep more criminals on the street. The same exact Alvin Bragg, who freed twice illegal immigrants who were caught on video assaulting New York City police officers. That same Alvin Bragg. I could rip into this case. I could rip into a corrupt judge whose feelings got hurt, so he wouldn't allow a witness for President Trump to speak because he had his feelings so hurt. He was big mad. I could rip into it that way. Or I could talk about the Federal Election Commission official, retired, who had come to be a witness on behalf of President Trump, that the judge did not want that person to appear, so he didn't get to. He was simply going to state that even at a federal level, this isn't election interference, since the main thing in this happened after the election. Or I could just simply go to the heart of the matter. The judge told the jury, you don't even need to believe President Trump is guilty in order to get a conviction. And in fact, if you don't like the many charges that have been brought up, you can pick another. You can find him guilty of a crime with which he was not charged. I could do that and burn it down. God has gifted me with one thing, and that is the gift of words. Many others. I don't know why I was never afraid to speak in front of a crowd, other than that's a gift God gave me. The harder thing is this. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, 19. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Well, it'd be easy enough. I could continue for an hour on what this has done to the country. I could continue to point out. You walked across a bridge, you then burned. The people who run Joe Biden has walked the country across a bridge and then they burned the bridge. You don't come back from this. This is now the norm. Well, and I could point to Republican governors and AGs and say, do you get it now? You can deeply not want a thing to be true, and you had better embrace it. Example, you could deeply not want it to be true that your house is burning. In fact, that's what would usually happen. God forbid your house is on fire, your brain's going to go, this can't be happening. It is, and you better embrace it. You better act accordingly. Republican state AGs and governors, I hope you're readying a list, not revenge. That's God's job, defense. You'd better search the offices of the law firm that helped Hillary Rodham Clinton launder her money that her campaign spent to work with adversaries of this country and a corrupt group called Fusion GPS to create the false Russia dossier that was recorded as legal fees when in fact it was simply a pass-through payment to Fusion GPS. Perkins Coie, as I recall, was that law firm. That's my recollection. I know they have offices around the country. Was one lawyer with Perkins Coie located in your state involved in helping Hillary Rodham Clinton launder that money? Find out. And if that was the case, bring suit against Hillary in your state. After all, the paperwork was done in your state. You had better be thinking this way. It's self-defense. Don't cross the line. Please don't do what Alvin Bragg did and invent a crime. What do I mean, invent a crime? Oh, yeah, Mark Pomerantz. He was a guy brought into that case early on, and he wrote a book where he said it was very frustrating because he kept telling him to be more creative to create more crimes about President Trump. But the offices, the lawyers there were saying, no, we're not going to be creative. We need to... Or Norm Eisen, a guy who, according to Revolver.News, is involved in launching color revolutions in other countries in order to topple them. He had decided to impeach President Trump before he came into office. See, I could burn this down. The harder thing is to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, 18. Give thanks in all circumstance, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us you have already meted out judgment. Thank you for reminding us that we're just visiting here. We're not citizens, right? We're passing through. We're to be good citizens while we're here. This is not our permanent home, let me say it that way. We're sojourners here. We're citizens of the United States, but we're sojourners here. Thank you for that. Thank you for the promise that's already been fulfilled that we will live in pure justice and pure harmony in the new heaven and the new earth with you. Thank you for that. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Lord, help our hearts be settled that you see. Remind us that everything whispered in the dark is one day shouted from the rooftops, that you know all the motives of all the people involved in this, that this is the time through which you've decided we'll live. And to me, that means you trust us in this time, that we were designed for this time, chosen for this time, and it's a chance to test our faith. Donald John Trump has been given the gift of stagecraft. There's no doubt he gets it. After the trial, after the conviction, he gets it. It's evident. President Trump walked out of the trial in a suit with a blue tie. Blue suit, white shirt, blue tie. Why is that significant? Because a red tie is aggressive. A blue tie is not. And he walked to the camera slowly, looking straight into the lens. He ignored a question. Are you scared of, are you concerned about going to jail? Ignored it. Walked up and began quietly. He didn't raise his voice. This man gets stagecraft. And here's what President Trump said.
This was a disgrace. This was a rigged trial by a conflicted judge who was corrupt. It's a rigged trial, a disgrace. They wouldn't give us a venue change. We were at 5% or 6% in this district, in this area. This was a rigged, disgraceful trial. The real verdict is going to be November 5th by the people. And they know what happened here, and everybody knows what happened here. You have a Soros-backed DA, and the whole thing, we didn't do a thing wrong. I'm a very innocent man, and it's okay. I'm fighting for our country. I'm fighting for our Constitution. Our whole country is being rigged right now. This was done by the Biden administration in order to wound or hurt an opponent, a political opponent. And I think it's just a disgrace. And we'll keep fighting. We'll fight till the end and we'll win. We have a country that's in big trouble. But this was a rigged decision right from day one with a conflicted judge who should have never been allowed to try this case. Never. And we will fight for our Constitution. This is long from over. Thank you very much.
To Republican state AGs and governors, I hope that you have a real list, because here's what comes next. This is the norm now. This is what they will do now. That bridge has been burned. I hope you have a list of everybody who helped Joe Biden launder money in your states. And I hope that Republican AGs and governors will team up with this, a well-researched list of targets. So the next time they come for one of ours, you go for 200 of theirs. Don't let it be revenge. Please keep that the province of God. It'd be so easy for me to want revenge. Not for President Trump, but for the attack on our judicial system. And this is an attack on our judicial system. I don't think it's a mistake or coincidence that Governor Asa Hutchinson, who is owned and operated by the sexual left in regard to the harming of children with wrong sex hormones and surgeries that incapacitate their ability to have kids, sterilize them, that lead to a life of painful follow-up surgeries, the cutting of a wound between a young boy's legs, pretending that that's a sexual organ. I don't think it's coincidence that he made this statement on Twitter. It's not easy to see a former president and the presumptive GOP nominee convicted of felony crimes, but the jury verdict should be respected. An appeal's in order, but let's not diminish the significance of this verdict. I diminish it because it was set up in such a way that it had to happen. I diminish it because the judge said he'd accept anything as a guilty verdict. You could have in a 12 members of a jury, you could have four members of the jury say, we choose crime A. Four members say, we choose crime B. Four members say, we like crime C. And then four members say, hey, we're going to break with you. We're going to choose crime Z. And Judge Marchand said he would count that as a unanimous vote for guilt. It was set up. So no, Governor Hutchinson, I do not agree that we should respect this decision. The jury never knew the crime. Prosecutor did everything they could to pretend the jury knew. But it would take one person to say no. Well, probably the judge would have replaced that person. See, this is happening at the same time as there's a reappearance of a rumor. Ashley St. Clair on Twitter points out, this is why trusted media is at an all-time low. Dozens of headlines from every major media outlet reporting on a decades-old story on a mythically recorded tape of Donald Trump saying the N-word no one has ever seen. Yes, here's CNN. Former Apprentice producer alleges Trump used N-word to refer to a black contestant. CNN capitalizes the B in black, although black is not a race. They don't capitalize white because CNN is racist. The Daily Beast, Trump called Apprentice contestant the N-word, according to former producer. Of course, that's not been produced. Even NBC's senior legal analyst was dubious about this joke of a trial.
I got it. These are the instructions that the jury has to follow in Donald Trump's hush money trial before they can reach a verdict. 53 pages. This is complicated. This is lengthy stuff. It took the judge over an hour to read it. But guess what? The jury doesn't get this in the room during deliberations. They have to write questions, they write notes. They don't get these instructions. In New York, both parties have to agree and the judge has to agree. And in this case, it didn't happen. They don't have this in the room right now.
Oh, it's an oversight. No, it's not an oversight. It was part of the design. See, I could, in fact, just go right back in to my roots in talk radio. And I could burn this down. The harder thing is to trust God. Oh, we will continue to talk about this because the stakes are so incredibly high. Figurehead Biden was caused to make some remarks about President Trump and black people on January 6th. Then just a quick reminder of who Joe Biden is and always has been. And in fact, there is some justice being meted out in a weird way. We'll talk about that and more on the stakes if there's time. So much in the program to get to. I'm Todd Herman. This is A Disciple's View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. There's two, three sides of myself operating now. My flesh would really like to just go through another monologue segment and continue to undress this farce in New York. And it's far beyond farce. It's a bridge they burned. It never goes back in the can. You release a spirit like this, a spirit of taking a justice system and turning it into a cudgel. It doesn't go back. And then part of me, the Holy Spirit, saying, be still and know that I'm the Lord. I'm not the Lord. The Lord is the Lord. Be still and know that he is the Lord. Then there's another part of me that wants to make sense of it. Well, here's the sense of it. They'd rather rule over the ashes. That's the sense of it. Rather than give up power, they'd rather rule over the ashes. And God wins. Many trust in chariots and horses. As for me, I'm going to trust in every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Chariots and horses, they can take the form of a justice system. I trust in our justice system. I don't. I'd like to be able to. Perhaps the Lord will see fit to allowing it again. Perhaps he won't. Are we okay either way? I want to be okay either way. I also do want to make sense of it, though. An election is looming. The party is what I call it. This is the Mockingbird media, the deep state, which does exist. Academia, technocratic medical class, they'll do everything they can to prevent President Trump from becoming president again. They'll do everything they can to continue the slide of America into manageable chaos. Chaos for us, management for them. Those are the stakes. There's an election coming, and now it has to go back to racism because figurehead Biden is just absolutely hemorrhaging support from black voters. The support for President Trump among black voters has tripled to 22%. This trial, this guilty verdict, will probably add another 2, 3, maybe 4 percentage points to President Trump's support from black voters. So they've got to go out and do what the Democrats do, and that is to scream racism at the top of their lungs. Figurehead Biden says President Trump would have acted differently if the rioters were black, the rioters of Jan 6th. Are we supposed to forget Black Lives Matter Incorporated, getting cops murdered, burning cities, and attempting to scale the fences of the White House? Are we supposed to forgive that, figurehead?
What do you think he would have done on January 6th if black Americans had stormed it? Think about this. What do you think would have happened if black Americans had stormed the Capitol? I don't think he'd be talking about pardons. It's the same guy who wanted to tear gas you as you peacefully protested George Floyd's murder.
So we're back to George Floyd. We're back to Jacob Blake. They don't say his name as much because he lived. We're back to that. Figurehead is caused to say these things. Well, we don't have to wonder what President Trump would do. When Black Lives Matter Incorporated's followers, many of them black, burned cars in Washington, D.C. on the day of President Trump's inauguration, including the limousine of an American immigrant to America from Iran. That's how he earned his living. They destroyed his limousine. President Trump didn't go have them shot. In fact, the Justice Department did very little. When a group of Black Lives Matter Incorporated supporters, many of them black, started on fire and attempted to burn down an historic church in Washington, D.C., in fact, I think the oldest church there, they weren't shot. In fact, the Justice Department did very little. When Black Lives Matter Incorporated members, many of them black, attempted to scale the fences of the White House, President Trump did not have them shot, praise God. And the Justice Department did very little. So we don't need to wonder about that. When Ashley Babbitt, an unarmed white woman, was shot dead by a black cop, we didn't make it about race because it probably wasn't. It's probably about Officer Byrd panicking and then lying and trying to cover up what he did. So these are the realities. And these are the realities of choosing a human king. It's interesting to meet people who are surprised that Republicans or conservatives, in my case, find Joe Biden to be a polarizing individual. It does surprise me. Wait, he's a kind old man. He's not. He's always been a brutal liar. This is the reality of Biden. He lies about everything. Compare Biden today to Biden in 1987.
In 1969, I got involved deeply in the civil rights movement. And so I got involved as a kid in the civil rights movement.
I was not an activist. I worked at an all-black swimming pool in the east side of Wilmington, Delaware. I was involved. I was involved in what they were thinking, what they were feeling. I was involved, but I was not out marching. I was not down in Selma. I was not anywhere else.
Choose one. It is again time to pretend that all black people love criminals. It is. That's what they do. Do you remember Jacob Blake? Jacob Blake is a black man who went to a home where two black women lived with some children. This was in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Is it coming back now? He went to that home and the black women called 911. And they said, Jacob's here and we're afraid he's going to rape one of us again. And so these black women said, please send us some white cops. They didn't. They just said, we need help. We're afraid he's going to hurt us. Then when he made an attempt to take one of their babies, they mentioned that he's going to take our baby. And so some police officers came and Jacob Blake wrestled with them, fought with them, and produced a knife and tried to attack the police officers who shot him. And praise God, he didn't die. He still has a chance to accept the free gift of redemption through Jesus Christ. But Cammy Harris, a woman who decided to pretend to be black after having explained that she was Indian American most of her life, a woman who used to laugh about jailing the parents of truant black children, laugh. She's recorded laughing about it, giggling like she does. She went to the hospital to call Jacob Blake a hero for scaring two black women into thinking he was going to rape them again. These are people willing to do anything. And whatever conspiring they're doing, because clearly they're conspiring, God sees everything, every whiteboard, every internal memo, every bit of doubt in Cammy Harris's heart as she pretends, oh, I've always been a black woman. At least there is a little justice in America. There is. An Ann Arbor man called into his trial for driving with a suspended license. He called in on video while he was, driving.
Actually, I'm pulling into my doctor's office, actually. So just give me 1 second. I'm parking right now.
You stationary?
I'm pulling in right now at this second. Yes, I am.
All right. What are we doing?
Your Honor, we are respectfully requesting an adjournment in this matter, possibly 2 to 4 weeks that the court would allow.
Okay. So maybe I don't understand something. This is a driving with a license suspended?
That is correct, Your Honor.
And he was just driving and he didn't have a license.
Is with the charges, Your Honor. Yes.
No, I'm looking at his record. He doesn't have a license. He's suspended and he's just driving.
That is correct, Your Honor.
I don't even know why he would do that. So defendant's bond is revoked in this matter. Defendant is turning himself into the Washtenaw County Jail by 6 p.m. today. Failure to turn himself in will result in a bench warrant with no bond.
Black families, that gentleman happens to be black, are affected by black crime in majority black neighborhoods. Not all black people are pro crime. And many black people have been taught that the justice system is out to get them. So they're watching what's happening with President Trump and they're saying, yeah, they're out to get him too. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. Well, the Democrats have laid themselves out. Maybe that's God's plan. Maybe it's a uniting.
See, Hispanic people are not all fans of illegal immigration. In fact, most of them are not. Frontline's Turning Point USA Savannah Hernandez found one of many Facebook pages being used to sell fake driver's licenses and social security cards for any state in the country to illegal immigrants.
This is how illegal immigrants are using Meta's Facebook to buy fake IDs and social security cards, access human smuggling services, and illegally work for Uber, DoorDash, and Instacart in online flea markets. For example, this page titled Obtain Your License to Drive from the United States Here advertises multiple fake driver's licenses in several videos alongside fake social security cards and even credit scores. As you scroll through this page, the seller even advertises that his IDs can pass an authenticity check, passing IDs under a black light, revealing a hologram security feature typically applied to real government-issued driver's licenses. These fake licenses are advertised for every state, and we reached out to the owner of this page, who confirmed that he could create an ID for us in whichever state that we needed. He then sent us instructions on what information he would need to create the fake driver's license. And by the way, his page is one of many advertising this service across the U.S.
In rigging an election, and I know the 2020 election was rigged, I am pretty sure it was stolen. Mark Zuckerberg, the CEO of Meta, of course, famously installed these drop boxes and wrote checks to local election officials, not to the officials, but local election offices, but always in Democrat areas in order to increase turnout because he wanted to make sure Trump wasn't president. You could view that as an illegal campaign donation of up to $500 million. Nothing happened. Dinesh D'Souza accidentally, he says, accepted some max out campaigns and he went to prison. Some max out campaign donations. In other words, people couldn't give him that money. He went to prison. Not Mark Zuckerberg. Mark Zuckerberg, who, in my opinion, continues to want to rig elections, is allowing this to go on Facebook. The flooding of our country with illegal immigrants in order to overturn the Electoral College is also doing this. Little babies are being abandoned at the border. They become too much for a smuggler. And so they abandon them and they die of thirst. It's not fair and it's not caring. But look what's going on Facebook. These Facebook pages, Savannah Hernandez's work here, these Facebook pages also sell and rent out food delivery service accounts and even bank accounts that allow illegal immigrants to make money in the United States.
Now, you would typically need an ID or social security number to work for Uber Eats, for example. So this is one way illegal immigrants can have access to IDs. Or you can go the route of finding advertisements on Facebook pages promoting the activation or rental of Uber Eats, DoorDash, or Instacart accounts. On these pages, migrants can buy an already activated food delivery account or rent one out from another user. One woman posted an image reading rent account for DoorDash in Spanish. We reached out to her to ask her how much she was renting the account for, to which she responded that it was $500. Alongside a driver's license and social security number, a bank account is also something a migrant might need to start a food delivery account. Luckily for them, that's also something that can be rented out. On the Latinos in the Bronx, Queens, Manhattan, and Brooklyn Facebook page, we found someone renting out a bank account for $25 a week.
So two state AGs who are Republican and state governors who are Republican. President Trump has been convicted in a sham trial as set up by a judge of these felonies that never should have happened. Mark Zuckerberg does business in all your states, every state. His platform and his page, because it's not just a platform, he's a publisher, is enabling human trafficking. Oh, yeah. Savannah Hernandez from Turning Points USA also found pages where human traffickers, coyotes, are literally advertising their services and, in fact, outbidding one another to bring people into the United States. Facebook is aiding and abetting illegal immigration, and those pages are accessible in your state. Please hear this, Republican governors and AGs. You need to put Zuckerberg through a trial for this, and everybody connected with him, and anybody who's pushed this, you need to do that today. It's defense against what's coming for you. Are you going to do that? I doubt it very much. We'll come back on The Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Still, my flesh wants to tear into this case and this prosecutor. I would really like to make it personal about Alvin Bragg. So let me avoid that by just saying this. Alvin Bragg is a prosecutor who succeeded in a rigged trial at getting the least surprising conviction in history of President Trump. If you've been to New York City and you've seen the many stages of New York City, I went there prior to Rudy Giuliani being mayor, and it was a different city. There were no-go zones. There were areas that were just simply not safe, and you could see it. I mean, you could drive down the street or be driven down the street, in my case, and see crimes occurring. Under Mayor Giuliani, that changed. New York became a far safer place. Even New Yorkers who didn't care for Giuliani because he was a Republican-esque person admitted that he did miraculous things to clean up the cities. Riding the train with lifetime New Yorkers, liberal mindsets, would praise what was done to make the trains once again rideable, simply enforcing the laws. And it started with painting over the graffiti and the broken window theory that, you know, a broken window leads to three, leads to then broken cars, leads to buildings broken into. That all worked. And of course, it's bringing order from chaos. God himself is a God of order, not of chaos. So if you've seen that, and you've seen what New York is now, that Alvin Bragg, the same hardcore prosecutor who cares about the rule of law, no one is above the rule of law, is a guy who, when he came into office, funded, by the way, by George Soros, when he came into office, he magically took a bunch of felonies and turned them into misdemeanors so he could let people go, so he could enable more crime on the streets. That's an affirmative decision to have more criminals. And then he did the inverse with President Trump. Took a federal crime, which is not tribal in a state, found a way to try it in a state, and then blew it up into felonies, and then created a case that was so set up for the jury to almost have to find Trump guilty. Well, his patterns of behavior make very, very clear this man doesn't care about law one. There are payoffs. Alvin Bragg is now a member in good standing in the party. I just saw this. Figurehead Biden was caused to say this at a press conference. It's reckless, dangerous, irresponsible to say the Trump trial was rigged. Does anyone remember, I'm sure in this audience you do, why Biden was not brought up on charges for mishandling classified documents? Do you remember? Because the chief, the special investigator, Investigator Herr, through the Justice Department said that Biden would come across as a well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory. In other words, he was too feeble to stand trial. But President Trump, of course, is President Trump. It's in a different case. There's also just sometimes the statements of bizarre loyalties from the Mockingbird media. You saw Robert De Niro go out and make the statement he did trying to get people riled up about the trial. I got an email years ago, just to see what they were sending. I signed up for Democrat emails. This is when I worked at the Republican National Committee, so I was monitoring them. I haven't bothered to unsubscribe because it actually harmed their email system if you keep a bunch of unsubscribed people on it. Robert De Niro sent me an email from the Democrat National Committee, and he said that he spent a lot of time studying politics. Yes, I'm sure. On CNN, Dan Coats pretends Robert De Niro's anti-Trump screed was not political.
De Niro, last I checked, is actually not an elected official. So who's right and who's wrong in the conversations and the vantage point they bring? Robert De Niro's presence next to two officers from the January 6th Capitol events, that says and confirms political viewpoints or politicization, excuse me, of the Justice Department, none of them are a part of it at all any longer. So I fail to understand that connection, but there's always tomorrow.
You understand the connection. No, you obviously understand the connection. One other thing on the trial, then we'll get into the Tower babbling. Joe Biden has been caused to fund two sides of a war. No trial for that. It's a statement of fact that his family's received $50 million in what can only be bribes. They don't provide any service. They don't make any product to 200-some bank accounts. You only do that. Or, I mean, 200-some LLCs, multiple bank accounts. You only do that to launder money, to hide it. Nothing's been done. The mishandling classified documents, nothing's been done. The cocaine found in the White House, nothing's been done. You could extend this. Barack Hussein Obama, God bless Rush Limbaugh, his decision to illegally give Iran billions of dollars, even though Barack Obama as president had to, and I mean this literally, twice, sign a pledge that he wouldn't do this, sign a law. He had to recertify that twice. It's illegal to give them money or to have any banking relationship with them. Nothing's been done, except everything's been done. Remember we were talking through the Bible? Everything's been done. But there's been no justice. Yeah, there has. Absolutely, there's been justice. Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 19. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Let the peace rule. Justice is already meted out. We will exist in a time and a place where it's pure justice and pure liberty. Liberty does not mean freedom. The words are not the same. Freedom is to do whatever you wish. Liberty is to use what God gave us in terms of our choice, the ability to choose, to use it wisely and within a set of prescripts. So where would we get those prescriptions? Ten Commandments and more. That's liberty. We get to live in that forever. That is, if you've accepted the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you've asked him to change you, if you've agreed to be changed, and if you let the Holy Spirit reign, well, then we're there. Still on this program, in relation to people like figurehead Biden getting to have his temporary moment ruling over some people and some people he governs, some people, well, we just look at him and understand what he is. We thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with their feature called the Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
The president takes shouted questions. I understand, John. I understand. I have dealt with this question about three times already. I understand.
The Tower of Babbling.
Three sound bites in the Tower of Babbling. And you might observe a pattern. You might. Hey, look. Representative Mary Peltola has thoughts about figurehead Biden.
As a Native person, I really have a tremendous amount of respect for elders. I think that Joe Biden's mental acuity is very, very on. He's one of the smartest, sharpest people I've met in D.C.
Huh. I don't observe the same thing, do you? Second soundbite. Hey, look. Representative Dan Goldman, who bought his seat with inherited Levi Strauss money, has thoughts about figurehead Biden.
I was in Israel on October 7th, as you know, and President Biden was nice enough to call me. And I can tell you, this was the day before that interview, I can tell you he was sharper than anyone I've spoken to about a very complex geopolitical urgent issue.
Wow! President Biden, they call him. He's very sharp. I call him a figurehead. That has not been my observation of the figurehead. Has it been yours? Oh, sure, the moments in the debates where he's rehearsed for a year in advance and something's been done to him, I contend chemically, my judgment, my guess is it's huge doses of Adderall. And incidentally, I'll say this, and people think I'm joking, and I think a little cocaine. They would never do that. Well, no, that's a phrase we need to remove from our vocabulary in relation to this government. They would never do that? Mm-mm. No, there's very little they wouldn't do, if anything. Wow, there's one more. Hey, look, Representative Suzanne DelBene has thoughts about figurehead Biden.
The president has had an incredibly successful record. We've seen that. You know, the legislation that we passed, the leadership of President Biden, helped these investments move forward, investments in infrastructure to continue to create jobs, to support our communities.
Wow, it's almost like they all had the same thing to say about the figurehead. And who says politics is acting kabuki theater? And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
I don't have anything to share with all of you at this time. And I'll just leave it there.
On a Disciple's View.
We often wrap the show up with a personal observation from me. It's a trade. You are so kind to spend time with me and the other hosts on AFR. I feel like you should know something about me. In my case, I describe myself as a rodeo clown. So I think you should know something about me. I've grown to understand that sometimes the fastest way back is to go, well, back to where you started. Seems easy enough, right? Except when we get lost, sometimes the temptation is to try to find the shortcut home. I don't know if you've ever been truly, truly lost. I mean, truly lost. I've been truly lost in the woods a few times, really not knowing where I was. And having to sit and think and then navigate and even get out a compass and try to figure it out. And then eventually going, oh, okay. I know where that is. But I got to go climb that ridge and then I'll see. I've had to do that a few times, but that's just how I live out here. There was a time when I was visiting some folks in Arizona. And we went on a nighttime hike. And I was helping some boys to overcome some things emotionally and spiritually. And I was not part of staff, just a volunteer. But I was the guy who'd done the most hiking. So we had the water. We had the food. We had signaling devices. If we needed to get out, we could. We had snake bite kits. We were well prepared. But we were trying to find this bridge across where a river was during some times of the year. If it was wet, you'd have river. Otherwise, you'd have this huge, 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 deep, deep canyon. Not the Grand Canyon, mind you. Something you could get through, but not for a long ways. And there was a bridge. So we walked and we walked. And we could not find the bridge. The way was not clear. Ultimately, late into the night, we made the call that we would camp. Now, we'd been up and down the bank, and we'd shined our lights out, and we could not find the bridge. And so we camped on the other side. Fine. It was just a delay in travel. It wasn't catastrophic. It wasn't going to end anybody's life. We put out the tents. We got out the water. We cooked the food. We did what we would have done anyway. But we would have been closer to our destination had we crossed that bridge. But the bridge wasn't there. I mean, we walked up and down that bank. All the adults shining their lights. In the morning, I heard laughter. Some of the adults were up even earlier than me, and I am an early riser, so I popped out of bed. And they'd walked up the bank a couple hundred yards. There was the bridge. See, the bridge was not right up top on the bank. It wasn't right where you would want it to be. You had to hike down to the bridge. Now, that didn't show up on the map. You had to go down several hundred feet to see the bridge, unless the light was shining. The sun. Our flashlights were not getting down that far. We weren't looking down that far. We weren't pointing it down at the river. We were looking for the bridge to be where human beings would want it to be. I just want to walk right up to that bridge and walk right across this river. Well, canyon. That's not how it happened. It was when the light shone that we realized we were judging this on our human construct of where that bridge should be. Convenience to walk straight up to it. We were using our human-made lights. When God's light shone, that became very, very clear. Sometimes the fastest way home is the way you don't choose. Would have been fastest for me today to go back to what brought me into talk radio, which was to attack injustice with the verbal skills that God gave me. And I could have said angry words today. I hope I didn't. I could have used a whole bunch of metaphors for Alvin Bragg. I hope I didn't. I could have screamed into the microphone. I hope I didn't. I haven't done that in decades. I could have called names. The only thing that stopped me from doing that was the Holy Spirit and respect for this network and for you. It would have been easier for me to do that, just as it would have been easier if that bridge had been right up there where it should have been, but it wasn't. It took God's light to show it to me. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Until the Lord decides you and I can speak again together, may the peace of the Lord that surpasses all understanding rest upon you and your families. On behalf of AFR and Randy, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.